And welcome to Bone Business here on CannabisRia.com. Really appreciating all of you for joining us. So we've taken some time here on the program to talk about various states when it comes to the rollout of their adult use programs. Well, now we're going to go and talk about the potential of another major state that could very well see, now that all the pieces have been put into place, that we now can see Florida looking at a pathway with the help of voters to see adult use cannabis made available in 2025 if they pass the ballot initiative for November 2024. So we're waiting to get to see on that. And we're back with another member of the Distinguished Law Practice we've had on the program before. You might remember Matthew Stand that joined us when we talked specifically about the state of Minnesota. So we're going to talk about the state of Florida today on the program. And with me is an attorney, partner of the Cannabis Law Practice Group of Greensboro Martyr, where they represent various cannabis and hemp-related businesses. And he assists in many areas of the industry, including licensing, regulatory, compliance, and business transactions. He also represents ancillary businesses who provide products and services to the cannabis industry and advises individuals, investors, lenders, startups, and large corporations on direct and indirect participation in state legal cannabis markets. So we welcome, go ahead and Mark, again, a partner in the Cannabis Law Practice Group at Greenspoon Martyr, Matthew Ginder. Matthew, thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me.
So we had originally had this pinned down for a few weeks ago. We were going to record this as an episode, and we're doing this right now, second week of April. But we were going to do this in March. And before that, I guess, you know, the rescheduling worked perfectly because the Florida Supreme Court, last week as we recorded this program, they are now allowing a ballot proposal legalizing the possession and retail sale of cannabis for adults to appear on the November 2024 ballot, which means yours truly, as a registered voter, I get to vote on this like we did in 2016, but for 2016, it was for medical. The Safe and Smart and Safe Florida Amendment now qualifies for the ballot, requires 60% of voters in order for it to take effect. So 8 years ago, we saw this on the ballot, Matthew, and now here we go again. With the 8 month, the 8 year layout of the medical market and people being normalized to the fact that they see cannabis dispensaries all across the state and the way they've been presented, do you see Florida becoming adult use? And do you feel like the companies right now are planning for this to be come to fruition?
I think it's more likely than not that Florida will hit that 60% plus voter approval come November. And I would certainly suspect that operators are planning for that event to occur.
And I'm trying to go back and see where things were. It was Amendment 2 of Florida Medical Marijuana Legalization. And after all said and done, I'm looking back and see where it was, the election results. At that time, Amendment 2, it was voted again among about 9 million voters. Florida Division of Elections had the results. 71% said yes to medical. 28% said no. Still, I mean, first of all, do you feel like there's much of a difference now than there was when it comes to people's opinion on cannabis and how much it might have changed in the last 8 years?
I think back then in 2016, you know, if you had adult use on the ballot, I would have said no shot. But, you know, year over year, our medical program has grown. There's dispensing facilities throughout the state. And public perception and opinion has changed to the better for adult use reform, you know, throughout those years. So I think there's, definitely a growing sentiment in the right direction for this ballot measure to be approved. And there are other factors that for this adult use initiative that it has going for it. I don't know if you remember back in 2014, 2 years prior to Amendment 2 passing, they actually fell short. And that was a non-general election year in 2014. They got it back on the ballot for 2016. Mm-hmm. And then we saw a 71% approval rating. So, you know, that's one of the factors that this initiative has going for it. This is a general election year. So I expect voter turnout to be much higher, especially those individuals that, you know, may sit on the sidelines for non-general election years, especially that younger population. And, you know, in my opinion, I'm sure polls will bear that out, that the younger you are, the higher the likelihood of being in favor of adult use marijuana.
A couple of things I'll unpack from there. Yes, if you're going to get the ballot initiative to be passed, it has to be during a general presidential election year. Only way it could be done, because I know even if they would have put it on the ballot in 2022, it was just a matter of they couldn't get everything done where the ballot initiative was going to be passed. And for the Supreme Court, the last time there was some language or terminology that was in the initiative that did not pass muster. And no matter what, this time it did pass, which is a success, which I think that was all that needed to happen was to get to that point. Now, the most recent polling we have that's been put out there was by the University of North Florida Public Opinion Research Lab. 67% surveyed said they would vote for a state constitutional amendment to legalize possession of regulated sales. 28% vote against a such measure. Now, North Florida, let's put it like this too. Let's make this also really clear. There was also a spring 2022 poll that showed 76% of voters support legalization. But now, and I think it comes as simple as this. We know that the voter base north of the I-4 corridor, which is Tallahassee, Pensacola, Jacksonville, Gainesville, you know, Orlando North, basically. Orlando North, Tampa North, Daytona Beach North. That is where the campaigning needs to go. Because in the 2016 campaigning, I could tell you that Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade counties, Miami-Dade, overwhelmingly would have been a 75% support for adult medical or adult use, no matter what it was. It's the southern part of the state that absolutely is in support and would pass this by flying colors. So the focus, the concentration has to be above the I-4 corridor, correct?
That's an interesting analysis. I think that's part of it. And I remember I was involved back in 2016 with the campaign. So I remember looking at the breakdown by counties and the approval rate. It's been a while since I looked at that. But I think that's part of, you know, the campaign strategy that you'll see in support of Amendment 3, which this one is called, is really identifying those markets and, you know, not only by demographic or age, but by, you know, by location. And, you know, deploying resources and for a PR campaign accordingly. That's interesting that you're focusing on, sort of the northern Florida districts. And, you know, you may be right. I just haven't really studied
I can tell you that back in the New York Times, I can go back and look at the story from there. When I look at who voted for medical for Amendment 2 back in 2016, it was, I want to just say this right, this was at least 75%. Okay, so Miami-Dade had 600,000 plus say yes, 285,000 said no. Broward was 587,000 said yes, 189,000 said no. Palm Beach, 461,000 said yes, 155,000 said no. Hillsborough, Orange also kind of followed the same way. Orange was a little more a 2-to-1 ratio. The same thing for Pinellas County. And then if I look at other counties after that, the counties that had more of a 50-50 or even was the other way around was absolutely the smaller counties north of the I-4 corridor. It was also Central and North Florida specifically that had that. That's where I look at from all that. Now, if you look at what they're doing, is that something that might have been missed when Spartan Safe Florida came in first to play in 2016? That they needed to go in, well, it was to get it passed, no matter what. There was passing it, no matter what. But this time around, it does need to be a little more geo-targeted. Do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And this time around, you know, you're going to see a much more well-funded campaign that they can deploy resources and targeting certain markets. in a much more effective manner, simply because they'll have the resources to do it this time. Now that we have a mature medical marijuana market with current license holders and operators that have significant a lot at stake. So I think, you know, the campaign dollars will be there, and they're going to be, you know, deployed in a strategy that they're likely have formulated or in the process of formulating right now.
So my local paper here, it's Palm Beach Post. Well, they went ahead and put an opinion editorial over the weekend, and that they said that legal weed in Florida is closer than ever, but we need to know more. And they make the point that, you know, that the Florida Supreme Court approved the language of the ballot question, sending the idea to make it legal. But again, well, they're putting weed and, you know, marijuana on here. Obviously, we already know where the writer here for this op-ed, which, by the way, they did not even make name of, decided to just go ahead and let's put the story out here. So they make the point that, now, one of the areas that they're talking about as well is that there were other ballot initiatives that were passed. And one that is going to supersede cannabis is the abortion ballot question. So it's the idea of, I believe abortion would be made to 6 weeks. That could be allowed as opposed to 15 weeks, I think is what it is. So that's becoming much more of a prominent story, which, by the way, what this is not going to talk about on this program, not whatsoever. But they're saying now the benefits of legalization from Palm Beach is not clear. Other than passage would enrich a burgeoning cannabis industry that has helped raise $40 million to support the initiative, many of the medical community still consider marijuana addictive. By the way, they don't mention anybody who says that. They just put that as a blanket statement. It remains illegal in the eyes of the federal government. How Florida copes with the passage of a state law that conflicts with medical view, the federal laws remain an open question. All right. So the media is not going to go ahead and help out with this. And for this to be done, I mean, I would imagine, and they're saying here as well, that for the sake of the voters heading to the polls this November, now's the time for both supporters and opponents of Amendment 3 to step up and make their case. Neither, I'm not going to use the words RM, but they, of course, want to use that, scare tactics or promises of job creation and remedy will suffice. If there's any ballot initiative that can use elimination, it's Amendment 3. So when I look at this story right here, what is it you think that, why is it you think that there are still, is it Big Pharma? Do you think that in Florida, this medical industry is going to put up a big fight to stop cannabis from making their way through because it's going to take a big dent in their business?
Yeah, I can't really speculate on who's going to oppose the campaign for...
What I want to ask is has there ever been any kind of, you know, has there been any kind of opposition that has been raised to a real public level by the medical industry here, you know, by the healthcare industry? Has there really been anything said that you've even read from or really said, or is this something that we might really see come to the forefront now? Are we going to see, you know, will the opposition ads come in against Amendment 3? Will they be coming from the healthcare industry?
I don't think, at least at a significant level back in 2016, we saw that contingency putting significant funds behind the opposition campaign. You know, there were certain high net worth individuals, Sheldon Adelson, and, you know, Mel Sembler, who is a real estate developer out in the west coast of Florida, a very high profile donor. So they were able to raise some money, some funds. It's unclear, you know, for this round, and this is really one of the things that I'm keeping a close eye on, is who is going to be funding the opposition here and at what level are they going to be funding it? Because quite frankly, there's bigger fish to fry on the general election. You have a presidential race, you have abortion on the ballot. These may take priority. At least for certain, you know, opposition people who would be in opposition to adult use, those other, you know, decisions may take more of a priority. So I'm curious to see who will be behind the opposition and at what levels. you'll see funding for the opposition. I my prediction is the campaign in support of Amendment 3 will significantly outraise the opposition campaign. So as far as messaging goes, I think you're going to see, in whatever media buys or whatever, getting your messaging out in the public, I think you're going to see more pro Amendment 3 than anti-Amendment 3.
Some of the direction that the Florida state legislature and Governor Ron DeSantis, especially after he came out of his presidential run that did not do well, but I mean, obviously he's back in business as governor. He has overwhelming support among voters right now. And he is now taking a, point. And the approach, I guess, that the government is trying to say about what they're worried about if adult use came into play is because of the potency of the cannabis that's being made for recreational use, or adult use, I like to say. And on top of that, the amount of THC that's going to be put into this. So state lawmakers are seeking to preemptively restrict the Florida adult use market before the court's ruling and before voters have a chance to weigh on it. So the House and Senate, respectively, 1269 and 7050, respectively, they now have bills in place that would be prohibiting the sale of cannabis flower products containing more than 30% THC to adults. Adult sales of concentrated are capped at 60% THC. So they want to make that much lower and really kind of just, not watered down, but like more just really less concentrated cannabis to be allowed to be sold. And if this potential impact comes in, I mean, do you think that these bills could be pushed out there before the initiative comes into play?
So there's been, this is the third attempt. Last session just ended a few weeks ago. And this THC cap for the prospective adult use market failed in session. I do suspect that something similar to this THC cap bill that keeps on popping up will be introduced next session. And assuming that the 60% voter approval occurs, then, right after that, we have our legislative session. And then right after that, we have the effective date of this constitutional amendment. So in that time period in between voter approval and the effective date, I suspect the legislature will try again to limit the THC cap. And that's going to be one of the battlegrounds among many during that legislative session, because, this ballot initiative is not a detailed initiative by design. It doesn't address a lot of issues. It defers to the legislature. So the legislature is going to be tasked with addressing a whole slew of issues to stand up an adult use program next to our medical program. And one of the battlegrounds, and the certain contingency of the legislature who are not in favor of adult use, they're going to pursue, this THC cap again to limit, the impact of adult use.
So I think it's kind of interesting that the Palm Beach Post and Governor DeSantis are lockstep right now on this issue. That really feels, Palm Beach Post is a very liberal newspaper. Let's just put it like that. I'm completely apolitically. I'm just saying the point is that, let's say the Palm Beach Post has never endorsed Governor DeSantis for governor in his two terms. Okay, that doesn't happen. But they're kind of in the same opinion as what they're trying to think here. And also, taking his quotes, Governor DeSantis saying in response to the ruling by the Supreme Court, he said, quote, "I think it's a real, real problem. And I think it's a lot different than stuff people were using 30 or 40 years ago. And I think when kids get on that, I think they cause a lot of problems." Okay, well, I would go ahead and push back on the governor's point and say, you tell me if I'm wrong here, but in 2016, we didn't see the licensing that came out for all these companies. There's not a lot of small companies here anymore, because let's just say the Florida medical marijuana market has become very corporate. We have only a handful of companies right now that run the entire business. They are big, they're large, and they are chains. And they have a concentration in every major city in the whole state. And that's what it is. So if you're looking for VitaCann or Trulieve or Planet 3D is going to be coming in right now to take over VitaCann or Sanctuary, or, there's a whole lot out there. that they're pretty well set, Sertera. They're all set in their place of who's going to be in. And then when adult use comes in, I don't think there's going to be much more of a change except for, you know, those same stores getting a different access to those that are able to go and buy it. It's just they'll be able to buy it without a card. Do you see, am I seeing something different here?
No. The constitutional amendment is pretty clear that current license holders, or MMTCs, medical marijuana treatment centers, as they're called here in Florida, this ballot initiative gives them the right to sell to adults for non-medical use. It also allows for the legislature to create licenses, other types of licenses. So to the extent the legislature wants to take that up and allow other licenses to sell products or create a different license type in Florida, they have the ability to, but, you know, until they do so, it's going to be just an extension of our medical program with respect to who's operating.
Because I think the approach that you do right now for the cannabis industry itself in Florida, the companies that are going to be here behind this Smart and Safe Florida campaign that are going to be pushing out there, and they're going to be plastering ads all over the place, you know, whether it's billboards, radio ads, social media, what have you. I think if you take the approach in Florida and specifically and look at yourself as like, okay, look, we're a collaborative effort, much like healthcare. Okay, we're no different than ACA Florida or Baptist Health. We have a hold as to how the market's done. We've done 8 successful years of providing a various amount of care to users out there, and it's been done on a medical level, at a safe level. We have a good setup for the medical marijuana treatment program. And, you know, revenue comes to the state, more revenue comes to the state after the result of this. So there's all that that's going to come into play. I think when you look at the campaign itself, I don't know if Green Spring Water or anybody else in your team is still associated with that campaign or what ties you might have to it. But regardless, do you feel like that would be the point of approach that it needs to be considered from more of a healthcare level that, okay, more access to care. And, okay, if it's not a medical marijuana card, people that are going to be able to use it, be able to go to a store, to a regular adult retail use dispensary, they can go in and get it. But it's like, I don't think we're going to get any kind of widespread misuse of cannabis after this changes. I don't know if that comes from it, but what do you think the campaign message needs to be with all these companies? If this is not any way like what you would look at when it comes to New York or Illinois or California or Colorado. I think Florida is just a different bag.
Yeah, I think, you know, the campaign messaging is going to be, you know, sort of putting to rest the idea that it's going to be an open market and it's going to be, there's going to be, you know, proliferation of products and stores everywhere. And I think they're going to, you know, they may sort of, the messaging may be an extension of the existing safe, highly regulated program that's already in existence. And the difference is going to be allowing adults to use it instead of just patients. And as far as the efficacy of the products, the testing of the products, the compliance, as far as operations goes, is all going to be the same. So, you know, the scare tactics, you know, I think the campaign behind it is going to have to sort of combat the scare tactics of, you know, the sky will fall, or, you know, proliferation everywhere will look like California. I've heard that before. So I think they're going to have to do, you know, a good job of sort of clarifying exactly what's going on and making sure the public doesn't buy into any of these sort of false narratives that are created. And I think, you know, that's public messaging in the legislature. You know, they're going to have a similar argument. And then, you're getting to whether additional licenses should be issued. You know, the competition aspect of it in the legislature, because they ultimately control who will be participating in the market and the number of participants. So, yeah, I think the campaign will be twofold, one to PR and then one to the legislatures, which is, you know, we know what we're doing. We've been doing this in a compliant manner. We're entitled to continue doing this under this constitutional amendment. So there's no need to change the status quo.
So I just, for me, I'd like to be able to know where Smart and Safe Florida comes in right now, because the onus is on them. We already know that 2016, we already know that polling continues to be a supermajority if they wanted to go ahead and pass this initiative. When the messaging is out there right, it will pass. It's now upon these big corporate companies that are all behind Smart and Safe Florida. Okay. No more victory lap. You got it done to the Supreme Court. Fine. Now let's go move along. You have 7 months to get this done. Like, less than 7 months as we record this program. It's time now for the campaign to come in, start strategically to start go after and say, there has to be a message put in place. What is the overall message you're going to give? Well, I don't care about endorsements. I don't care about anything else. You need to go up and assume who your opponents are going to be that are going to try to bring this back down. Not your normal public outcry. I think healthcare is going to be an opponent towards this because they're not going to want anybody else to take a cut of their revenue of what they're getting right now. If they can make sure that people keep going to their hospitals, their medical clinics, their doctors, as opposed to going to a medical marijuana treatment center or going to a dispensary to find care, the healthcare is going to come and make a pushback. I believe that wholeheartedly. That's where I look at with Florida. And it's just a matter of, as Smart and Safe Florida now, you got this done. Hey, so this was the easy part. Now you need to get this done and passed. And if you want Florida to be an adult use state, you need to go and push back whatever remaining things are that are going to, whatever the existential forces that are going to come in right now out of the woodwork to change. The messaging has to be solid, crystal clear, succinct. Has to be about medical care. I mean, you have to go that route. People in Florida understand healthcare. They understand, care about loved ones and what treatments might not be able to be possible through conventional medical care. These are the kind of things that need to be brought across. Get doctors in front. Get healthcare professionals in front that support this amendment, support this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All together and make Amendment 3 possible. There should be no reason why this does not pass. So for everybody to think that the governor's going to have like this prediction, he's got a magic wand. No. Legislature, they want to make changes in terms of the potency? Okay, have at it. If they can do it, good for them. But no matter what, the voters want to go ahead and be able to pass this, I believe, especially if it was only behooving to those south of the I-4 corridor. But they need to understand what are going to be the obstacles in front of them. So I'm trying to make that point across. I'm a Florida voter. I will be voting for yes on Amendment 3 coming up in November. And you need to make sure that the message is out there so it's overwhelming that Florida will go ahead and pass this and surpass the 60% needed. Just saying, that's my own opinion right here on this program. Anyway, we're going to move along, and we're going to go ahead and talk about a story from the Tampa Bay Times. We're here with Matthew Ginder about where adult use will be allowed, what could be created in terms of smoke-free zones, what would be done in terms of how people can consume it, even though while they have this, well, adult use make a change in terms of where people could consume it? And also just look inside the Safe in Florida, Smart Safe Florida campaign, and all these big companies are all part of this, and they're putting up now $55 million. A war chest is all being set up right now for this amendment to get passed. I'm here again with Matthew Gender, part of the cannabis law practice at group at Greenspoon Martyr here on Blood Business. Back with more questions after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back. I'm here with Matthew Gender, partner in the Cannabis Law Practice Group at Greenspoon Martyr in Boca Raton. I'm over in West Palm Beach is where I'm located here. So for those of you that are asking, why are we talking about Florida so much? Because we live here. And I've been about this for 8 years, even well before this, when Cannabis Radio first became an inception in 2015. We've been following this story. I've been following this song very specifically. And, you know, we talk to folks here at a pretty regular basis. Michael Minardi, who's been part of Smart and Safe Florida for a long time. We talked to him numerous times on this program. So you can go back and hear us talk about that. And other, you know, attorneys and officials that have been a part of this whole deal to get Florida to become that 24th adult use market or state to be adult use. So we, as I mentioned before the break, we talked about Palm Beach Post and their decision to kind of give their own op-ed piece on this, like, wow. They're like, okay. I was kind of surprised to see that from the Palm Beach Post. And the Tampa Bay Times also, you know, I can already tell that the news media is not going to be making this easy for the amendment to go and go through where it was. I mean, you know, obviously, when the media wants to get behind something, they're going to get behind something. I mean, I remember, was it 2020 when we had the ballot to go and outlaw dog racing? Or, the dog tracks. Greyhound racing, and they got that done. So like, okay, maybe that difference. They've also always been very contentious and cantankerous when it comes to gambling, but of course we've seen more things happen with gambling, and eventually that's going to happen too. But to see cannabis actually go ahead and be passed before gambling does, I'm actually was kind of surprised by that. But these are things that Florida is going to just have to go and deal with. It's inevitable, I believe, in both of these respects. Tampa Bay Times also writing about this. After the Florida Supreme Court decision to allow the ballot initiative to pass, Amendment 3 to go onto the ballot coming up in November 2024. They had some questions, some Q&A for the audience that their readership that they wanted to go and answer. Quote, will adult use marijuana or cannabis be everywhere, quote unquote, should it become legalized? And they say the supporters of the amendment say the Florida legislature could create smoke-free zones as they have with tobacco. 2022, lawmakers passed a bill, for example, allowing local communities to ban smoking and vaping on the state beaches. Measures like these also follow a 2002 state constitutional amendment approved by voters banning smoking in most indoor closed workspaces. That was this is the Clean Air Act, I think, the Safe Clean Air Act. And that was like all these other states that did the same thing, where non-smoking and smoking sections were just eliminated altogether. Now, in a statement, a spokesperson for Smart and Safe Florida says, quote, the Florida Constitution, the proposed amendment, expressly empower the Florida legislature to enact in time, place, and manner regulations of cannabis usage in public places. And a portion of the amendment says that nothing in its language prohibits the legislature from passing laws consistent with that amendment. So what do you think the Florida legislature could consider in terms of where you can smoke?
I think they're going to have broad discretion here on where adult users can smoke. I mean, let's just start with the premise that Florida law already prohibits medical use and administration of marijuana in various locations. So public places are prohibited for medical marijuana use, places of employment, schools, vehicles, indoor workplaces. I think the legislature is just going to build upon the existing prohibitions for medical use. And we'll likely see that expanded to the extent, smoking marijuana is, I believe that they're going to treat that in a same or more restrictive manner than smoking of tobacco. So I think that's, one of those issues where the Florida legislature will jump in and pass a bill that addresses public use of adult use marijuana.
And as we said, there's been places where, I mean, obviously you can see people that go and they can consume, take cigars or vaping or smoking outdoors, public restaurants and areas like that. Is there anything that you feel like that would be, would cannabis still be locked into the same smoking laws that are in place? So like, no matter what, they would still be beholden to the same laws that are out there with the Clean Air Act and things like that.
I haven't studied that issue, but I would say potentially. I think we can start from the presumption that many locations are going to be prohibited unless explicitly set forth by the legislature. I think, you know, their inclination is to treat it in a more restrictive manner than tobacco. So I certainly think you're not going to see, cannabis being smoked in certain locations where tobacco is prohibited. So I think, the legislature will likely take a conservative approach unless, and if they do want to allow certain locations where smoking is allowed, I think it's going to be sort of an exception to the general premise of the law.
Now, interesting that the Tampa Bay Times brings this point, but while cannabis is still illegal at a national level, smoking will still be forbidden on federal lands and college campuses that get federal funding. Now, Governor DeSantis said this. He interprets the amendment to mean the legislature can't regulate the personal recreational use of cannabis at all. That cannabis use under the proposal will be allowed for those under 21 and older, would not be subject to any criminal or civil liability or sanctions under Florida law, and possession of up to 3 ounces for personal use would be permitted. So what do you think about what the governor said right there? That, you know, there's something that can be done in terms of, nothing would be changed or adjusted in terms of the amount of personal use and where people can have it personally in their own home or their own personal use.
Yeah, I'd like to read the statement in full context the governor said, but I mean, I can't imagine him, he must be talking about personal use within the privacy of, private property or your home. But, outside, once you step outside, a property owner that allows it, and you're in, public or quasi-public areas, I would suspect he would take the position that absolutely he can regulate it, or the state of Florida can regulate.
Now, one of the other areas I also would consider is, and I will just ask you, if you know anything about this at all, but has there anything been said at all in terms of, if adult use comes into play, what is being considered in terms of what the tribes, because in Minnesota, I remember we talked with David Standa, one of your colleagues up there, that talked about the fact that having the indigenous tribes be able to go ahead and sell, so the Seminole Indians here or the Miccosukee tribe, that could be able to go ahead and sell immediately and open up the dispensaries, like, say, right next to the Hard Rock or, where whatever casinos they might have. If they wanted to go ahead and open that up, would that be something that could happen pretty quickly without necessarily going through any kind of licensing process? And then also for those that want to be able to grow at home, has there been anything said about the indigenous or at-home grow, what the adult use amendment would create if that comes into play? Has that something that's been considered or laid out yet?
I don't think this amendment allows for the home menu, the personal cultivation of marijuana. That seems to be an activity that requires a license. So I don't think there's any, and I don't think the legislature has an appetite for home grow. So I don't think that's in the short term, I don't think that's a realistic possibility. With respect to tribes, Native American tribes and tribal land in Florida, there's whether or not they'll be permitted to, and they can certainly, I know in other states, they, tribes may move faster as far as the lack of licensing. So long as it's permitted in state law, there's a potential for tribes to move forward. I will say Florida's, unique in the sense that there's other factors to consider. You know, these tribes are allowed, you know, gambling here in Florida, and you know, online gambling is a big thing. So that's a significant component. And there's, you know, this isn't my area of expertise, but it's my understanding that there's agreements between state and tribes with respect to gambling. So anything that would rock that boat, I would suspect they're going to hesitate, or at least not move. At least not move at a pace where they're not clear what the ramifications are with respect to gambling in Florida.
I'm going to say, first of all, for blunt business and for sake of the audience, I will be making a reach out to Smart and Safe Florida. I want their campaign to come on the program, give us an update on what we're going to get laid out in terms of what they're going to try to go and hope for with the amendment coming into play, and see what will change of that, because we want to go and see where everything stands and what they can tell us that is being allowed after this ballot initiative is put into place, and what would be implemented once, and I'm just saying once this passes, because I do believe, if I have to put a prediction, I will be against the governor's prediction that I believe that Florida will make adult use legal. I do believe that the voters of Florida have been waiting for this chance to do that. I think they're going to do it overall. Now, we're going to go back to commercial break. One more question I want to ask here with Matthew. And that is just, you know, the involvement of the MSOs and how directly involved they are behind the Smart and Safe Florida campaign. We're going to talk about that, because there's been a lot of talk between those companies out here and who's been putting in to the pot to this. Really, it feels like almost like a super PAC that they're going to get themselves ready to go ahead and go up against whatever underlying forces there might be out there that could hinder Amendment 3 from going and being voted yes. We're going to talk more about that with Matthew Ginder, partner in the Cannabis Law Practice Group at Greenspoon Martyr. Website is greenspoonmartyr.com. Greenspoonmartyr.com. Make sure to go and check out there on the website. As we go to break, we'll be back with final questions after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
I'm back with final questions with Matthew Ginder, partner in the Cannabis Law Practice Group at Greenspoon Martyr. We've been talking about the state of Florida seeking to become the 24th state in the United States to have adult use cannabis become legal. And one of the other areas I looked at, I wanted to take from the Stock Aficionados as Seeking Alpha, that about the donors that are joining the legalization campaign. So far, Smart and Safe Florida has been mainly funded by the state's leading cannabis retailer, Trulieve. And other companies that have been adding in now with about $15 million in funding includes Cresco Labs, Air Wellness, Curaleaf, Green Thumb Industries, and Verano. So campaign financing now, according to MJ Biz, has totaled at least $55 million. Smart Safe Florida makes a point that, quote, as we move to the next phase of campaigning, we're grateful to have the support of our donors. We have come a long way, but our work has only just begun, end quote. And so the cannabis legalization campaign marked a major victory with the Supreme Court greenlighting the initiative to go before voters on the November ballot. And by the way, Florida being the third most populous U.S. state, it's significant. And also a conservative, mostly a red state, to go ahead and greenlight cannabis. Same thing we're always looking at with Ohio and other states about what this means in terms of seeing states like Florida going into adult use cannabis if it comes into play, and how they will roll out their adult use program. So, Matthew, talk about the impact and influence the MSOs are making to make Florida, to lead Florida into adult use, because it's really, you can see that, and it's not surprising, but it's also the way that the industry's been the last 8 years in Florida.
Yeah. So, I mean, before the Florida Supreme Court approved the measure, Trulieve was leading this effort by itself. They contributed around $40 million to get through Florida Supreme Court review phase. And you know what? They're the largest operator in Florida. They have 134 dispensaries at this point. They have the most to gain from adult use legalization. So it makes sense for them to go at it alone. But now that it's on the ballot, we're seeing other operators and multi-state operators in Florida that are operating in Florida, you know, join or contribute to the Smart and Safe campaign. And again, Florida is a market that lends itself to big business and multi-state operators because of the lack of restrictions on what you can do with one license here in the state. So some of these MSOs have a significant presence in Florida. So it would be a huge upside. And it's not a surprise that they're jumping in and contributing now because, you know, they made it through the first big hurdle. And now the second big hurdle is, you know, in November election, getting that, hitting that or exceeding that 60% voter approval level.
Part of the thing was with came to Smart and Safe Florida is because that was the campaign that came up against Regulate Florida. And I mentioned Michael Minardi back earlier in the program. He was running, he was leading up the charge for Regulate Florida. It was, again, a very light-minded campaign, but it was not where it was this big corporate MSO deal. And I think the way they went after each group went after signatures, that obviously Smart Safe Florida kind of, they caused it where the 2020 ballot initiative never happened because there was a conflict where they wanted to be able to control how cannabis is going to be regulated in the market for adult use. So there was some forces that caused Regulate Florida and Smart and Safe to kind of cancel each other out. So the amount of signatures necessary never made it to pass. And then, as we said, during a non-presidential government, or a non-presidential election season, you weren't going to get anything passed then either. But things already happened where Smart and Safe Florida, they kind of, they wanted to get their way in front and be able to be the ones that controlled when adult use comes into play. But one thing the Regulate Florida was trying to do was they were looking worried about, you know, convictions, offenses for those that were convicted of cannabis use or the legacy operators. Or, I mean, I'm sure they were probably looking at the other areas of social equity. Do we look at anything right now where some of those areas also need to be laid out? Some of the more, I guess you could say, progressive area of adult use rollouts that we see from other states that Florida has not considered here. Or is that going to be something that you feel like they're going to have to come to grips on and be a part of anyway? Or do you feel like Florida might have certain things that will not be included in other states?
So just to jump back a little bit, there were two adult use ballot initiatives that attempted to get on the ballot. One was Minardi's initiative, and the other was Make It Legal Florida was the sponsors.
There was something like that, yes.
Yeah, they both were found to be invalid and couldn't, you know, putting signatures aside. The Florida Supreme Court found that the ballot initiatives were, I believe, misleading or not clear and unambiguous. So they were struck down on technical grounds. I think one of the issues that Mr. Minardi's initiative had was that it tried to address too many issues all in one ballot initiative. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, the court, the court had, you know, certain grounds to strike that ballot initiative down. So I think Smart and Safe this time around sort of had lessons learned from the two prior adult use initiatives that were struck down and tried to keep it very streamlined and short and pretty close to the medical marijuana use ballot initiative that passed. That was their best chance of getting the Florida Supreme Court to approve the ballot initiative. But as a result of that, a lot of issues were not addressed. Home grow, you know, any sort of social equity, all those issues were not included on this ballot initiative. So it really, you know, those issues would have to be taken up by the legislature, which they can at any time. I think that's part of the issue is the legislature just doesn't want to address adult use. The majority of the Florida government is opposed to adult use. So that creates challenges on what you can get passed through a citizen-led ballot initiative. And, you know, I'll even take it a step further. The Florida legislature has passed laws making it very difficult and extremely expensive for citizen-led ballot initiatives, included adult use initiatives, to get on the ballot. So we saw 40, $40 million spent by Trulieve just to get it to this point. Back in 2014, 2016, they were under $10 million in spending funds to get to this point where we are now. So it's sort of a few factors why a lot of, you know, other issues were not addressed on this ballot initiative. And, you know, there's the other one being costs. And if you want a grassroots effort for a citizen-led ballot initiative and you want to address home grow, it's going to be very difficult to raise millions and millions of dollars to get it through and on the ballot. So that's why we saw this ballot initiative working, because A, it had the capital, and B, it kept it very simple so it could pass Florida Supreme Court review. But as a result of that, the current operators that have, you know, a lot to gain from it, and doesn't necessarily consider some of the other components that, you know, you want to see or certain cannabis reformers want to see on in their laws. But that's not to say it can't happen. It's just a matter of the legislature taking up those issues. And, you know, that's a whole separate conversation of what the legislature is interested in,
right,
in taking up.
There's a lot in the rollout of the program. I mean, for me, I know we have to wait for the initiative to pass. I'm going to be the one, I'm a betting man. I'm going to say it's going to go. But I also think that we haven't gotten the full languages of what Sparkle State Florida or what the ballot initiative is going to create in terms of what they're going to do to expand to create the adult use program and what the state of Florida is going to do about it. And so I'd like to know what those conversations are already coming up to be once we get to that point. I mean, it's going to take a while, of course. We all know that. But we already have a bit of a framework, obviously, from other states as to what they could go with. I'd like to know what Smart State Florida is going to do about that. So I highly invite someone from Smart State Florida to come on the Blunt Business and tell us about this. I'll try to make the outreach to go and see if I can get someone on here to talk about it, because I want to continue talking about Florida here on the program. Now that we're here, let's just see what is the plan in place. And I'm not one thumping here that, oh, we need to go do like every other state. No. I think it's been played out. Okay. Everything, you know, money talks. All these big MSOs came into play. They're going to take control of the market. It's just the way Florida is. That's fine. But I think if you want to have other things going to be talked about, we should have the conversation. That's where I come up with that. Because I also think, you know, will social equity be a focus like it has been in other markets, but obviously has not been done well? We have documented over and over the kind of corruption and the kind of misuse and mishandling of licenses that have been put out here so far, whether it's from the licensees or from the states and what we've learned from the information that's out there. I mean, there's a lot to be said about kind of double or triple dipping into not just the tax revenue, but what more money the government can make off of being very performative and creating a social equity program that really doesn't serve the public. That's just me saying it again, no one else. Now, we'll leave it at that, but Matthew, I want to go ahead and give you a chance to go ahead and let people know if they are within the state of Florida or just, you know, for your team, if they want to go ahead and work with your team and, you know, continue to follow along, and they need the kind of help that your team can offer in terms of a cannabis company and the cannabis law practice. Go ahead and talk to people about Green Spoon Martyr and what they should be doing. The website is gmlaw.com, gmlaw.com. And if you can, please tell us what people should do in terms of joining your team, how they should reach out to you.
Yeah, you can go on our website, and all my contact information is there. And we're, you know, a full service law firm with a lot of experience in the cannabis industry. We help not only current operators, but those who are interested in entering the market here in Florida. So hopefully there will be some more opportunities. If adult use passes, I think the legislative session following the initiative passing is going to be critical, because they really have the opportunity to create more businesses to enter the market. It's something that you should be paying attention to if you're interested, and, you know, speaking to people that are, you know, following this closely. to see if and when you can participate in Florida's market. And we know it's going to be if adult use passes. We know one thing, the sales from adult use products are going to be significant. It's going to be one of the largest state programs, you know, in the country, probably second to California. You know, when this is fully implemented. So looking forward to following and participating in what's going on here in Florida. And I think there's going to be a lot of news coming out of Florida in the next 9-12 months from now.
Because I honestly think, I mean, Florida is going to be like unlike any other adult use market when it comes into play. And that's what's going to be the really fascinating part. So we keep an eye on that. And again, Matthew, thanks for being all with us and sharing your insight on what we have in this. It's looking forward to it. Thank you for joining me. I really appreciate it again. GreenspoonMartyr.com or GMLaw.com. Either way, GreenspoonMartyr will direct you to GMLaw.com. Go ahead and talk to them and the team. And thank you, listeners, for listening to another Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.